Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we are going to pick up where we left off with Monday's program. We had several highlights from the Trump rally in Bozeman Friday night, plus several of the interviews that I conducted from the floor of the Trump rally on Friday night, shared that yesterday. But then we wanted to sneak in at least a couple of phone calls, and we still didn't get to it all. One interview that I didn't get a chance to share yesterday was my conversation with Navy SEAL veteran and U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy from the floor of the convention prior to him taking the stage alongside Donald Trump at that big rally Friday night. So here you go.
Not just the man of the hour, the man of several hours, really the man that we need to save America. Because if we don't win in Montana, it's hard to see how we save America. Tim Sheehy, great to see you.
Great to be here. Thanks for coming out. As you know, we've been here since about 6 a.m. this morning, shaking hands in line all day long. Folks have been here all night to get in here, and the least we can do is be here thanking them for the commitment they're showing to our party, and it's been a great day. It's going to be a fantastic night.
From sunrise to soon sunset, just what's it been like out there talking to people? I talked with you earlier in the morning, now seeing you here, but just what's the feel you're getting? What's the atmospherics would have been the word we might have heard overseas?
You know, it's positive. And you know, the frustrating thing that we always hear about our movement, the Make America Great Again movement, the America First movement, the Trump movement, whatever you want to call this, is people are happy. They're positive. They love this country. They love each other. And they want America to be better. And they're welcoming to our movement. And I think, you know, we're always painted as angry and dark and bigoted. And it couldn't be further from the truth. This is a group of people who are, they love God. They love their country. They love their families. And they're here trying to make this country better. And I'm so proud to be here with them.
You're a Navy SEAL veteran, Bronze Star for Valor, Purple Heart veteran. You're a survivor. President Trump's a survivor. Man, I mean, just the seriousness of the tone now, too. I mean, certainly everybody's overjoyed to see President Trump come back to Montana. But I think there's also a new seriousness facing, you know, this event, facing our country, really all around.
Yeah, I think people are recognizing, especially in our side, that, hey, we need to take the temperature down. The stakes are high. This is an important election, no question. But as you and I both know, we're all Americans at the end of the day, all right? And our side does not want to be picking up arms against the other side of this. And I don't think the other side does either, by and large. But obviously, we've recently seen Trump get shot. Of course, he survived. Corey Campitore, the firefighter, unfortunately didn't. But we need to focus on votes. We need to focus on issues that matter. And, I mean, John Tester's campaign, unfortunately, an example of just personal disparagement, character assassination. Instead of talking about his 30-year track record in politics, instead of talking about his own war record because he doesn't have one, or his own business because he's never started one, you know, just vicious lies about our own. And I think what that belies is they can't talk about the issues when it comes to John Tester. They can't talk about the issues, so they have to go into character assassination and personal attacks. And, you know, we're not reciprocating. We're talking about what we're going to do to fix this country.
All right. That was part of my conversation with Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy at the Trump Sheehy rally in Bozeman Friday night. There's more where that came from. Full video, go to MontanaTalks.com. But quick break. We've got a great lineup of guests here on the show right after this. Henry Kriegel, the Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity, AFP Montana, live on Montana Talk.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, coming up later in the hour, John Hines with Northwestern Energy is going to be joining us on this show. We're going to be talking about the new natural gas power plant in Laurel. Just sounds like an incredible facility. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal was telling me about the tour she went on here recently. But first up, this segment brought to you by Americans for Prosperity Montana. We've got Henry Kriegel, the Deputy State Director for AFP Montana, on the phone lines with us tonight. Henry, great seeing you the past few days. I saw you at the Trump rally Friday night, and then saw you in Bozeman last night. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise was in town. What an incredible guy he is.
Yeah, there have been some great events that have come through Montana. You've been traveling all over the state for them, doing a fantastic job of emceeing and doing what you do best. And I was able to join and attend the Trump rally in Bozeman, and it was just a spirited crowd from the beginning when I arrived at 8 a.m. to check it out and all the way through to around 11 o'clock at night. Fantastic lineup of speakers. I think we should be proud of our Montana delegation, from Austin Knutson to Greg Gianforte to Steve Daines to Troy Downing and Don Kay, our chairman of the party. Tim Shee spoke really well. And then, of course, the president came through. And it was a joyous, uplifting, high-energy event. And I was just so happy to be there as everybody who was there inside Rick Breeden. And also, even in the parking lot, I had friends out there who said they enjoyed the festivities and being able to watch it on the Jumbotron outside, because it's a small venue there.
Well, I want to get your take on kind of the latest campaign commercials that you're seeing, and then also talk about healthcare, because that's a topic that you've not only engaged in with nationally on some of the congressional issues, but you've also been focused on healthcare at the state legislature as well. But first, you talked about how I've been traveling this state. We've been doing these great events with Americans for Prosperity Montana. We've been, you know, helping people fight inflation. And just, it's so fun hanging out with your crew in every location. But you know what's interesting? I keep running into people from Minneapolis, people from Minnesota. They moved from Minneapolis or they moved from Minnesota in the last 3 years. And when I ask them why they moved from Minneapolis, their response is, "Why do you think?" And obviously, I'm in on the joke because Minneapolis has become such a mess from the COVID lockdowns, from the crazy policies of Tim Walz, and so much more.
My stepson, he moved out with his family from Minneapolis, from Minnesota, because he said Tim Walz destroyed the state. And Minneapolis was a beautiful, small city in America. You and I were there for an old AFP Defending the Nation annual summit that we had there, Defending the Dream. And it was a beautiful town.
Yeah.
And now I'm told it's like Mogadishu. All, you know, businesses boarded up because Tim Walz delayed sending in the National Guard to restore order after the George Floyd riots commenced. So it's been really run down. And they've also spent their $18 billion surplus under the Tim Walz leadership as governor. But getting to the whole issue of health care, I know we get inundated with TV ads. The Tester people out fundraise the Shee folks by at least 7-1 when you consider third-party contributions. But the latest one is about health care, and there's a woman named Elizabeth Marum there who unfortunately suffered from neuroblastoma, and we wish her a speedy recovery for sure. She was fortunate to get the treatment she needed. But then she launches into this political thing, claiming based upon a tracker. This is someone who's paid to track candidates to try to catch them off guard. A tracker's little short audio clip of Tim talking about the benefits of private insurance versus government-controlled health care, which is something that we at AFT support. And lambasting that if Tim she gets elected, we would do away. I would not have gotten my treatment, so would have many other Americans. Well, that's a completely false statement. Elizabeth happens to be the former chair of the Montana Democratic Party. She ran for state representative as a Democrat at least once and lost, and is using this for political purposes, which I think is unfortunate. The truth of the matter is that our healthcare system needs to be overhauled. The government and insurance companies are not the clients. The patient is. And we need a personal option that puts the patient first. And the patient ought to be able to have access to the healthcare professional they trust and be able to afford that person and have access to the most innovative treatments possible. And that's only made through privatization, not through a government-controlled system, which is the direction that we've been going to as a country ever since John Tester cast a deciding vote in support of Obamacare. They lied to us about it then. We could not keep the medical doctor of our choice. If the government takes over our health care system, 170 million people will lose their own private health care, which is far better than what the government can provide. Because God knows, we know they can't even deliver our mail on time, let alone deliver our health care that meets the needs of our people.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point that you make that, oh, yeah, they're trying to make this campaign commercial look like, oh, this is just some everyday Montanan who's struggling and is concerned about health care. No, it's a political party hack, a political party operative coming up with another phony attack line. But yet, you know, it's like I listened to nearly an hour plus of President Trump on Friday. He's not talking about doing away with health care. He's not talking about doing away with Medicare or Medicaid. Neither is Tim Sheehy. But on the flip side, Kamala Harris is on camera admitting that she wants to do away with private health insurance. She's on camera. All you got to do is roll a tape. Henry Kriegel, stand by. We'll come back to you right after this quick break here on Montana Talks. And then after that, more of my coverage, including my interview with former State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert from Bozeman. Now.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump back to it with Henry Kriegel here from Americans for Prosperity, Montana, since I kind of monopolized the first few minutes talking about other stuff. Henry, you know, we were talking about some of these phony commercials talking about health care and these phony attack ads. We've also seen these phony, oh, I'm just a sportsman, I'm just a regular guy that goes hunting and fishing. Oh, give me a break, for Pete's sake. You know, political party operatives, green decoys, they're these radical environmental groups or Democrat Party operatives that pretend to be just, oh, I'm just a sportsman. Sure you are.
Yeah, you said it well there. You're referring to Sam Lundgren, the so-called independent, who's wearing some brand new, probably some brand new camos bought at Sportsman's Warehouse or something out there. Lambast and Tim Sheehy for buying up, you know, acreage in Montana and denying people access to public lands, which he does not do. He gives people access. But in any case, he's a political operative. He works for backcountry hunters and anglers, as you mentioned, a green decoy group, which in the past funded to a tune of $500,000 the third-party candidate to try to take votes away from Denny Rehberg when he was challenging John Tester in 2012. And we'll see if these guys try to do that again. They might do the very same thing with the third-party candidate that's running right now. And if they do, Aaron, I'm sure that you and I will expose that for what it is, an attempt to interfere with our election process by using these phonies.
Yeah, they're funded by the same people that are funding the environmental groups that are trying to shut Montana down, timber, ag, oil, gas, coal, access, you name it. They're funded by the very same people that are funding the American Prairie Reserve. These are the same people that are being featured and propped up in these phony John Tester campaign commercials.
For sure, you can make the case that these environmentalist groups that support hunters and anglers groups are part and parcel, have some responsibility for the wildfires by litigating and blocking the proper healthy management of our forests, the thinning of our forests, in the allowing the timber industry to harvest wood. But in contrast to these political operatives that Tester has on his ads, we at AFP Action are running now a series of ads featuring real Montanans talking about the hardships that they're experiencing under the Biden-Harris regime, supported by John Tester almost 95% of the time on every policy and bill vote that comes through the U.S. Senate. So while John Tester has long abandoned Montana values, he is very present in D.C. voting for bad policies that are hurting Montanans.
Well, Henry, it's always great to have you on the show, and I know you guys are actually hiring people. If there's people that want to get some exercise, go door to door, you can get paid to do it, or you can volunteer to do it, or your kids can volunteer to do it. You're doing some incredible work. I mentioned I've got to meet so many of your incredible teammates all across the state while we've been doing this Bidenomics tour separate from the radio show. So how can folks get a hold of you? How can they get involved and maybe even have a job at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely. We got plenty of great jobs around the state. Wherever you live, in any major city, we are there knocking doors. We've knocked nearly 200,000 homes thus far, reaching nearly 400,000 Montanans. You could be a part of history, making Tim Sheehy the 51st U.S. senator and having a policy majority right there in the U.S. Senate affecting the country and the world. So just simply give me a call, 406-581-5410. 406-581-5410, and I will direct you as to how to apply for a job where you can canvass for a great candidate, Tim Sheehy, and make a huge difference. So let's go beyond being keyboard warriors, and let's get out on the pavement. Let's have some real, authentic conversations with people at the door to dispel the lies that Tester is spewing forth in these commercials, and talk about what a great candidate we have in Tim Sheehy and what an amazing opportunity we have to make a difference on a national level right here from our home state.
All right. Well, Henry Kriegel, AFP Montana, always great to have you on the show. I know you not only talk health care at the federal level, but also at the state level as well when the legislature is back in session. We'll have to do a show from Helena during the legislative session one of these days. That'll be a great time, just like we've done in the past. But I've got a great idea for a location as well. Rocky Mountain Liquor. If you're in Helena, you know what I'm talking about. They've got a huge selection of fine spirits and, of course, cigars, located at 1500 Cedar Street. And, yeah, if you haven't been there, check out Rocky Mountain Liquor, or you can shop online at rmliquor.com. But, I told you about those Tatanka cigars that I've become a big fan of. Had my first one in Great Falls with the Cigar Lounge crew there. Sheriff Jesse Slaughter actually introduced me to the Tatanka cigars. And by the way, incredible Cigar Lounge in Great Falls. And then that Rocky Mountain Liquor, that Capital Club Cigar Lounge is just stinking cool. It is cool. So it'd be a great place to do a show from. I'll have to ask Ken Weinheimer if we can do a show from there one of these days. It'd be a ton of fun. All right, let's see. We got John Hines from Northwestern Energy joining us here in just a few minutes. One other interview that I did from the floor of the Trump rally Friday night in Bozeman that I still want to share with you. In fact, she's got family in Poplar, Montana. She's got family in Poplar, Montana, but she's a familiar name and a familiar face.
Hey, some of you younger guys out there remember Heather Nauert when she was the State Department spokeswoman under President Donald J. Trump. Some of us guys, though, remember when she was one of the best reporters ever on Fox News. You were there, Fox News, in the early days. Hard to believe. Give us your report thus far. Take us back to your TV days.
Yeah, well, since I left Fox in 2017, joined the State Department. But this is an incredible evening. Looking around at the crowd here in Montana is phenomenal. The number of people who have showed up just blows my mind. I've covered these as a reporter before, but this is my first time as an actual guest at one of these events. So really excited. Great speeches. I'm confident that Sheehy's going to win the Senate. We need that seat. Republicans need that seat. So important. Everybody get out to vote. But the Democrats are also engaged. So that means Republicans have to turn out.
This one is actually, it's a smaller venue. I wish it was at Bobcat Stadium, because however many people are in here right now, yeah, there's three times at least as many out there from what I hear. But either way, it's going to be, man, President Trump will walk in here any moment. What, you got some Montana connections as well. Tell our folks out there about your Montana connections.
Yeah, so my cousin Katie came here from Poplar, Montana today. She's supposed to be in the cab of her combine, and her dad let her out. He said, go ahead, go see President Trump. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I think that so well captures the excitement of Montanans for President Trump. Real working people who care about this country enough to come here to show their support. I've got my 14-year-old son here, so it's fun for him to see politics as well.
My wife and two of our kids are out here. So many people I'm seeing, they're saying, I'm so glad my kids are here.
Yeah.
Because we all understand how critical this election is. We really are on, you know, a brink of where we go as a country. Yep. Frankly, some people think if we survive as a country, foreign policy, we're in the brink of World War III right now. You're very much in touch with what's going on with international affairs.
Aaron, a lot of concerns from Iran to North Korea. We don't talk about North Korea a lot. ISIS is on the resurgence again. Very, very dangerous. And then, of course, we have Gaza, Israel, all of that. So the world is on fire right now, and what the world understands and what the world wants actually from America is a strong American leader, because that keeps us safe. It also keeps our neighbors and our allies safe, which is why it's so important for President Trump to come in. I am very worried if Kamala Harris becomes president of the United States, wanting to abolish ICE, letting Medicare for all, whether you're legal or not, when we aren't even taking care of our veterans in this nation. So that's what President Trump's got to get back at.
Yeah, it's so crazy, John Tester, giving our money to illegal aliens, and meanwhile they prop up this stolen valor fraud, Tim Walz, who lied about being in a war zone. I mean, what a slap in the face to so many who've actually gone over and served. And I know you do a lot to look out for our fellow veterans. So thanks for what you and your family does to help out our fellow veterans as well.
What you do. We love Warriors in Quiet Waters. We love all our veterans and all our veterans organizations. But that one's near and dear to our hearts. So thanks for what you do. Just hope everybody gets out to vote. You cannot, like, stay at home and snooze this one through and hope that people are good, that the president's going to win and the Republican candidates are going to win. Folks got to get out.
Heather Nauer, great to see you in Montana, as always.
Great to see you. Thanks so much.
All right. And by the way, full video of not only that interview, but all of the other interviews that I did, along with Senator Steve Daines, Tim Sheehy, and more, from the floor of the Trump rally. Full video, go to MontanaTalks.com. And by the way, if we would love to do an on-camera interview with Senator Tester as well. I know he hasn't ever wanted to take your phone calls and your questions, but the opportunity's been out there, and we would certainly give him the opportunity for an on-camera interview as well. Speaking of your phone calls, we've got Eric in Winifred on the phone lines. Eric, what's on your mind? Good to hear from you.
Hi, how you doing today? Just wanted to, it's some more anecdotal evidence than anything else, but I've been really watching for the last couple of weeks, and especially if you watch TV through streaming services, that Tester is crushing the number of ads anywhere between 5 and 10 to 1 during, like, commercial breaks and stuff on Hulu and things like that. And I, in my opinion, I've talked to several people, and I've always tried to figure out this ridiculous gap between Trump being up by 20 and Sheehy being up by 2 to 4 points. And those ads are working. I also have, you know, spent a lot of time in Western Montana, and the public lands one, people are freaked out about. Everybody knows that a single senator can't do a damn thing about selling off public lands. I mean, you would think that. But I've talked to more people that are voting for Trump and then Tester because of the public lands issue. And his latest one with the privatized insurance, you and I are both veterans. I'm a retired veteran. We all know how it works. The VA is always going to be there. TRICARE is always there for the retirees. And
but you still need the private insurance too, oftentimes, because you still need that, even the people that are on Medicare or Medicaid, right? Gotta take a quick break. Yeah, isn't it interesting? Despite the onslaught of attack ads, despite people being duped, Sheehy is still in the lead.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, farmers and analysts alike were surprised to see a record soybean crop reported in USDA's Crop Production and World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report. The soybean crop coming in at 4.58 billion bushels, surpassing all pre-report estimates. The soybean yield is forecast at 53.2 bushels per acre, with Indian stocks reaching a six-year high of 560 million bushels. Corn production is also on the rise, now projected at 15.14 billion bushels, driven by a record yield of 183.1 bushels per acre. Despite this increase, corn ending stocks are slightly down at just over 2 billion bushels, while the farm gate price dropped to $4.20 a bushel for U.S. corn. Also a part of that report, wheat actually saw a decrease in production, with estimates lower to 1.9 billion bushels due to reduced acreage. Wheat ending stocks are now at 828 million bushels, with the farm gate price for U.S. farmers steady at $5.70 a bushel. Globally, soybean stocks are up while wheat production has increased slightly. Corn production is down on the global scale, according to USDA. Today's report was brought to you by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. For more on what they do for family farmers and ranchers, visit ncba.org. I'm Lane Northlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
No, such an interesting phone call there from Eric and Winifred. You know, the bottom line that Eric was communicating is that, look, John Tester, Chuck Schumer, the California Coastal Democrats, they have way more money than the rest of us. So, of course, Liberal Senator John Tester is going to be able to flood the airwaves with way more campaign commercials than Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy is going to have. And so, of course, there's people that are going to fall for it. There's people that are going to be dumb enough to fall for these fake, phony campaign commercials. Even some people that are clearly voting for Donald Trump, but then will fall for this Kamala Harris-style liberal like John Tester. I mean, just like she has said she's against fracking, and then now she claims she's not. She flip-flops just like John Tester does. They will say whatever they can to try to get elected. But that's why it makes it even more interesting that yet even with this onslaught of ads against him, you know, John Tester is the number one recipient of lobbyist cash. So John Tester is able to use all that money, the money from Chuck Schumer, the money from all the lobbyists, to pump out these phony, lying campaign commercials. And yet even still, Tim Sheehy is in the lead in the polls. So imagine if John Tester didn't have Chuck Schumer's money and he didn't have the lobbyist cash. Imagine how much more of a lead Tim Sheehy would have. Anyway, I find that interesting. But Eric, great to hear from you. I talked with Eric a little bit more during the break there, too, about how, you know, the American Prairie Reserve and, you know, John Tester's putting APR supporters into key positions back in the federal government, and so anti-agriculture and more. Let's go to Rock calling in from the middle of nowhere before we get to our guest. Rock, I wanted to get to you before the break, but thanks for sticking around.
Yeah. Hey, I was yesterday I met up with a friend of mine I haven't seen in a long time, and this person is a legislator in Helena. And on the same note that the previous caller had, she said she is hearing from so many vets about how they're going to vote for Tester but vote for Trump. The same deal. Vets out there, do not fall for this stuff. It is just crazy. You know, I don't get it. And it's funny because I started using the VA again. I hadn't used them in years. And all of a sudden, I'm like, my wife said, it's an election year. That's why it's so good right now.
Well, I'll tell you,
they've been really great. I'm using it down in Billings. And, they've been really, they're calling me, texting me, emailing me, all this stuff. And I want to see what it does after the election because, I'm sure Tester's probably going to take credit for all of it. And veterans, you need to vote for Sheehy. We got to save this country.
Fellow veteran, yeah, not only our country, Western civilization is on the brink right now, frankly. Yeah, yeah. And I know most veterans are not falling for it, but it only takes a handful, doesn't it? It only takes a handful. Great to hear from you, Rock. Appreciate your phone call. You know, I saw a photo. It was so heartbreaking to see this photograph of the Milk River. Now, as a kid in Glasgow, I remember trudging through the Milk River, and it was more like chocolate milk down there by Glasgow in the summertime, right? More like chocolate milk, when you get down closer to the Missouri River. But there is a portion of the Milk River that is completely dried up right now, completely bone dry. And it's gonna and the High Line is being left high and dry for another year. They won't even fund a temporary replacement. Despite all your money they're giving to illegal aliens, Ukraine, and all these other countries, but the High Line is high and dry for another year. But you watch how the fake news media
will go to every single one of these dog and pony shows. Oh, look at our ribbon cutting ceremony. Oh, look at what we're going to do 1 year from now. Why are we high and dry on the High Line? Why are we going to be high and dry for another year? You know, and it just, if I could just throw one more thing out there, and I apologize to our guests for just one more second of a wait here. John Tester attacked Conrad Burns for all the money that Conrad Burns brought back to Montana. Even though they were appropriations projects, they weren't these massive trillion dollar spending bills that John Tester's been pushing here in the last few years. There were targeted appropriations projects, most of which went to water projects here in Montana, like Dry Prairie and others. And I just think, man, if Conrad Burns had stayed in office for a few more years, the High Line probably wouldn't be high and dry right now. But John Tester, who criticized Conrad Burns for bringing that money back to Montana, is leaving the High Line high and dry while he gives your money to illegal aliens in all these other countries. All right, let's get to our great guest on the phone lines here. We've got John Hines, Vice President for Energy Supply and Montana Government Relations. Hey, John, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's good to have you. I tell you, I had a great conversation with Evelyn Pyburn. She's got the Big Sky Business Journal. She got to get a tour, got to have an inside look at the new Northwestern Energy natural gas-fired power plant in Laurel. And she was so excited to see it and had so many great insights from taking that tour.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive. It's a state-of-the-art. It is as clean a gas plant as you can have in the United States. And by the way, Montana isn't the only state that's developing gas plants. I think there's around 135 gas plants currently being developed or in development stage in the United States. But this is going to be one of the top plants, I think, that's built to date. And we're really excited because it's going to be able to allow us to integrate our renewables, but it's also going to be able to allow us to meet critical load during those critical weather events that we've talked about previously.
So I understand that one of the things she told me is the plant is fully operational and able to serve customers, but you're going to be serving customers full-time starting, what, in September? But right now you are up and running doing a lot of the testing, but when you've hit some peak demand, you've been able to kick out a little bit of electricity to deal with that high demand, especially in the high summer heat.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Like you said, we're in the testing phase, just like think of a car. When they're building a car, you're running different components, testing to make sure those pieces work individually and then as a plant. But we've been able to put some of those tests aside when our power system is at a pretty tenuous state. And just a couple of weeks ago when we had that hot spell, we were putting out over 100 megawatts during one day.
$310 million generating station comprised of, what is it, 18 reciprocating internal combustion engines capable of generating a total of 175 megawatts. How do you describe these reciprocating internal combustion engines?
Yeah, there's kind of two main different types of engines. One type is they like to be turned on and put up to kind of a full state and run that way forever. So it's like you put a car on cruise control and you're just going down the highway. Another type of engine, which these reciprocal engines are, is that they're fine with being turned on, ramped up all the way to 100%, and then turned off or ratcheted somewhere in between. So they serve different purposes, and what our portfolio needs is our engines that are able to go up and down depending on what our system needs are. And these, we can basically go from 0 to 175 megawatts in 8 minutes. So really fast reacting plant.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's fast action. When I say 18 internal, 18 reciprocating internal combustion engines, sounds like it would be loud. It sounds like a NASCAR race, but in reality, it's actually very quiet. Noise decibels like you would see in a restaurant, according to Evelyn.
Well, even that, from any sort of distance away from the plant, that's like outside, right outside the building. If you go where some of the people, probably the most vocal complainers are, they're located 300-400 yards away across the river. The river noise probably creating more noise than the plant is from that distance. And it's like a whisper-like dishwasher at that point.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, so it seems like a lot of these well, and it seems like most of these so-called opposition, you know, it's the familiar faces, the radical environmental groups that oppose everything, that oppose anything. And, yeah, I'd love to have that river noise in my backyard. I got to take my camper out to have the river in my backyard. I got to go, you know, to find a good camp spot to do that. So,
yeah, they have a pretty luxurious location there. And, you know, frankly, the industrial plant that's located, it's closer to them than the gas plant is. The industrial plant puts out far more light than our plant ever could. In fact, we have renditions of both, you know, that was an issue that was raised during one of the many sets of litigation that these groups have filed. You can barely see the lighting from the Yellowstone plant. And it's like a sun in the background with the other lights on.
Interesting. Hold that thought. Quick break. Back after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Well, it sounds like the project manager at the Yellowstone Generating Station, the natural gas power plant in Laurel, got a really cool project manager, Josh Fullman. Evelyn Pyburn was telling me a little bit about him. I think he's a military veteran, and so she said she really enjoyed getting a tour from him. But let's also talk Colstrip here, the big Colstrip acquisition. John Hines with Northwestern Energy. Evelyn Pyburn was also out in Colstrip last week. Southern Montana Economic Development, SMEDC, had their big annual meeting out there. And she said, boy, there was so much optimism in Colstrip, so much enthusiasm. And sounds like in large part due to the big news of Northwestern Energy acquiring now a majority share in Colstrip and having those decisions made here with a company in, you know, Montana and the Dakotas instead of folks back in Washington and Oregon calling all the shots.
Yeah, this is the first time since basically I took over as vice president that I can say our portfolio has reached a level of reliability at this point that I'm comfortable with. And, there's a lot of politics, as you kind of inferred, with the West Coast. And those utilities, I can tell you, frankly, that they're very nervous about being able to serve load, but they're required from state policy to get out of Colstrip by the beginning of 2026. We didn't have a majority, which meant we felt extremely uncomfortable about both the maintenance funding on the plants as well as our ability to just keep the plants operating, absent gaining greater control. So we acquired 375 megawatts from Puget under similar terms and conditions that we did from Colstrip or from Avista, which means we paid $0 for it. They're fully responsible for the environmental remediation and cleanup responsibilities once the plant closes. But the key piece here is we now have 55% of the total plants, and so that will be reflected in votes necessary to keep Colstrip reliable. The other piece, you know, I always talk about reliability and affordability. So reliability just gets us to where we actually have enough generation in the state to be able to serve our customers going forward with a small amount of market purchase. In other words, we're not reliant on really out-of-state, extremely expensive, and frankly, we're not even sure at times whether we can bring that power in. And as an illustration, we had Colstrip was down for a couple of days to repair a tube leak a few weeks ago, and in order for us to serve our load, the transmission system had to call an energy emergency alert. And the loads were not reflective of really super peaks like we saw in January throughout the West. But yet we still had to call that alert in order to get transmission and be able to find people willing to sell us power during that time period. So absent Colstrip, those people who say we don't really need it, they are not looking at the actual empirical data that shows we do.
That's right. Well, and look at what they're doing in the Pacific Northwest. You've got the, I mean, as our co-op friends have been pointing out, you know, this current administration in Washington is trying to tear out these hydropower dams in the Pacific Northwest. More and more electricity consumption all the time, electric cars, electric devices and homes, and yet they're trying to rip out electric infrastructure. Two different directions we could go. We got a couple of minutes left here, unfortunately, just about out of time. But I heard a fascinating podcast Dr. Jordan Peterson up in Canada did talking about nuclear power and how, you know, these small scale nuclear reactors, they don't have the risks of meltdown like they, you know, like the old nuclear power plants because of the new technology that's out there, not needing the cooling, et cetera. So that's exciting. I know some folks have talked about what about adding a nuclear capability to Colstrip down the road. Evelyn told me even natural gas came up at SMEDC last week, that you could add that to enhance Colstrip further as an energy hub.
Yeah. I just real quickly here, I just say first, Colstrip is an extremely cost-effective resource as far as being running it right now. There is a chance, in fact, we saw it in this administration's Environmental Protection Agency recent rules, that they could try to price Colstrip out of business. And potentially they have attached a $350 million investment for the entire plant to put in a baghouse. You know, we went to the administration, we went to the Environmental Protection Agency, explained how you weren't going to get any increase or decrease in mercury. We already met Montana mercury standards, which were far more stringent than even these new rules. And we're going to go from 99.6 to 99.8% efficiency as far as removing particulates. This administration refused to listen to that entirely.
Wow.
And so if the Supreme Court doesn't overrule the EPA, this administration's overreach on what they want to accomplish, we could have to make that investment.
I don't know why our liberal senators have, you know, Senator Tester and then the rest of his buddies in the Senate haven't overruled this. Because we lose Colstrip. As I understand it, we lose Montana resources in Butte potentially as well, because if they don't have reliable, cheap power, we lose them as well. It's crazy, the ramifications of this. Wow, we are out of time. John Hines, always appreciate your perspective. John Hines with Northwestern Energies. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Aaron. Take care.
All right, you too. If you missed it, it was a while back. It was back on July 30th. But yeah, a look inside the natural gas plant in Laurel. Evelyn Pyberg shared some great insight and some photos as well. You can find it there.